Thank you, Deb, otherwise known as Sue. I wanted to, this year, I don't always do it this way, but I wanted to take the four themes of the 4 weeks of Advent and kind of spend time on those. And as we heard this morning with the first reading, hope is the first Sunday of Advent. I don't know, most of you folks here are, you know, around my age or so. And I recall when I was a kid getting up on Christmas morning to see what was left under the tree. We had to come down the stairs of our two-story house, and there's a wall in the stairs, and you had to go around the corner before you'd see anything. So what we would do is our parents would have us walk down the stairs, and of course we're fighting. I had three brothers who would get down the stairs first. Didn't matter, you're all going to show up in the room about the same time, but you always had to have that kind of thing going on. Eventually, he said, no, it's got to either go in order of oldest to youngest or youngest to oldest. So I was never the first one because I was the third child born out of four. So I was never in the front, never in the back. I was always somewhere in the middle. But we come down those stairs, and off to the left is where the living room was. We couldn't see anything until all four of us were there, and Mom and Dad said, okay, you can come around the corner, and you can see what's there. The anticipation of waiting on that threshold of what is coming was always exciting for us. And the more I think about it, Christmas back then was perhaps more simple than it is nowadays. I think we're much more of a materialistic culture now than we were back then. Christmas wasn't a whole lot of stuff that we got, and nowadays it seems like Christmas trees are just loaded with stuff. But I was thinking about this, and I thought about moms and dads. They wrapped gifts that we needed. They also wrapped some gifts that we wanted. And they did and got what they thought what was best for us. That was what they would do. And we anticipated all that at the threshold. I even remember something every year. We always had the stockings, too. I don't know about you, but every year we had a navel orange at the bottom of the stocking. That was the bottom of the stocking was this big round thing, and we all knew what it was. It was a navel orange. Now, I don't know why. I mean, it kind of meant something to me because we got a navel orange every year, and I always loved those navel oranges because you could eat those oranges, and there was no seeds in them whatsoever, and it was a big one every year. Why I remember that, I don't know, but I remember the navel orange and the stocking. And there were other things in the stocking, things that we would use, could use. And occasionally there were things like maybe a Hot Wheels car or something like that in stocking. But it's those kinds of things I think of. And I think, you know, my parents wanted to place in the stockings and place the gifts around the tree with things they know that we would need or that we wanted. Now imagine Mary, not at the threshold of the bottom of the stairs, but imagine Mary as she is being introduced by the angel Gabriel to what's going to happen. Think of her as it was on the threshold of the bottom of the stairs, figuratively speaking, and around the corner something's going to happen and she has no clue what's going to happen, and this starts to unfold before her. Think about that for a moment. She wasn't a very old person at all. In fact, many believe that she was a young teen, which was not unusual in that day. And she was being told what was going to happen. She was told, you are highly favored. Not because of your status in life, because she wasn't really of very high status. She was just a normal young lady. Didn't come from royalty in the sense that she was a part of royalty there and then, but she was certainly in the line of David. Not because of her status in life, but because you're listening to the voice of the messenger of God, Gabriel. I'm trying to put myself in her shoes, not as one that would be pregnant, but as one who would realize something really major is going to happen that I'm not going to understand. She couldn't understand this. She has no clue what's up, because even yet, she doesn't really know what's going on. God sent the angel to Nazareth to a virgin pledged to be married to a man. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." She doesn't know yet what's going to happen. She was greatly troubled, as I probably would be too, and you would be, at the words that were spoken and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel in verse 30 says, "Don't be afraid. You have found favor with God." And then here's the kicker. Here's the coming around the corner. You're going to be with child and give birth to a son, and you're going to give him the name of Jesus. Wow. She doesn't know the whole scoop yet because she's wondering what's going to happen. I mean, she says, how am I going to be with child because I'm a virgin? Wow. The angel says, "Don't be afraid. This is a good thing. But I'm talking to an angel." You know, how is she feeling at this point? Probably still wondering. She still, in a sense, is on the threshold. I don't understand what is going to happen. I am but a teenager. I am but a young lady. She's probably a bit skeptical, wondering. But what's she highly favored for? And then it comes. You're going to have a baby. And this baby's going to have a special name. And this baby is going to be the greatest baby ever born. Son of the Most High. Verse 32. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." Isn't that kind of a tall order? Isn't that kind of a major big thing? I mean, this is something magnificent that's going to happen, and she's still wondering what in the world is going on. This comes to a person and a people that were, in a sense, oppressed by the Roman government. A people that once were a proud people who had a kingdom going all over the place in the Middle East. And now the Romans have taken over. And the people of Israel were a people living there, but it really wasn't their own. Being oppressed, they were less of a people than they used to be. And here was this little Mary who was told that her son is going to be a king. Now, she's still wondering at that point, hey, the king over Israel? Are we going to overthrow Rome? I mean, what's she thinking? That's probably what I would be thinking, because I wouldn't know any other thing to think at that point in time. Even though there were Old Testament scriptures that spoke of this Messiah to come, like the one in Isaiah 7:14 that we just read. I have my doubts that Mary even knew that text at the time that this happened. She probably found out about it later. But Isaiah 7:14 probably wouldn't have rung out to her. "You're going to have a baby. His name will be Jesus, and he will be the greatest child ever born." How will this be? How will this be? She wonders. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. God will be the Father, and he will be the Son of God." Wow. Wow. Utterly amazing. Now, to the world out there, they see this sort of thing and think, how can it be? Humanly speaking, how can it be? This is God breaking into human history, wanting to show us his precious love, the one who would come, who would become fully human, and yet
This was going to be the hope of the world, the hope of Israel, not just the hope of Israel, but as I said, hope for the whole world. Even back when Abraham was spoken of, that through his seed the whole world would be blessed. And this ultimately was Jesus who was to come. Now, to some degree, I still look at this and I think Mary's still on the threshold. Am I dead? I guess we want the folks who are watching online to hear this. Should I use that?
Okay, folks, online, I'm using a different mic, the one you use when you sing, but I'm not going to sing. I'm going to keep just sharing. How long was I off? Okay, so you got what's going on. So in a way, I think Mary is still on the threshold here, because she still doesn't quite get it. But she took her first step toward the gift. She just says, may it be, in verse 38, may it be as you have said. You see, just like us, when we open the gifts on Sunday, on Christmas morn, we don't know what's inside there. Maybe sometimes you do because of the size of the gift or the shape of the gift, or maybe because you cheated beforehand and unwrapped the Christmas wrapping and then wrapped it back up. You know what? I'm going to share something with you, and she's not going to like me for this, but Lisa used to do that when she was a kid. I thought my wife was the perfect kid. She was the perfect compliant child. She never did hardly anything wrong. But she looked at Christmas gifts before Christmas and then wrapped them back up. Yeah. Some of you did the same thing, didn't you? Oh, dear. What I did, I didn't unwrap anything. I just tried to look at all the hiding places to see if I could find them ahead of time. And every now and then you discover, and sometimes I think Dad kept them at school where he was a school administrator, and I think he kept them there so we couldn't find them. Anyway, her first step toward that gift, stepping around that threshold, and she starts to look. Still doesn't understand, but she says, may it be to me as you have said. She must know at that point in time that she's speaking to this angel, and she knows God. She has a relationship with God, and she understands that he has her best interest in mind, even though she can't see it yet. The gift is still wrapped. She's been told kind of what it is, but she still doesn't understand this gift that she is going to have. We know, too, when we step beyond the threshold God has called us to, that threshold may call us to the cross, that something good is awaiting us, too. Even if the journey itself might be hard, and the journey for Mary was kind of hard. In fact, she had to travel a long ways when she was heavy with child, so a census could be taken. And then instead of staying at the Holiday Inn Express, she's in a stable. Nurses here would say that's not a real sterile environment for a baby. She gave birth to Jesus in a stable. We don't know what journey we take with God, but I want to assure you and me as well that in the journey that we have and the journey that we have to take in the high parts and the low parts and those parts in between, that as we cross around that threshold and we see what God has there for us, and we may not fully see it yet because it's still wrapped up, God has as a gift for us what is best for us. And we may understand it eventually, even if we don't understand it now. No way Mary understood after that conversation with Gabriel, okay, I got it, Gabe. All set. Going to have Jesus. Going to live for 30-some years. He's going to die on a cross and raise again. And yeah, no. She didn't understand any of that stuff yet. She was just starting to unwrap that gift. What she would later find out as a part of her journey, which was hard, is she would give birth to a Savior and watch him die. Think about it. As a mother or as a father. He would rise again, and she would watch him live. Talk about the tremendous low and the tremendous high that she would experience. You see, the gift was worth waiting for, wasn't it? When she went around the threshold and she started to unwrap that gift was going to be 30-some years of unwrapping, really. She realized at one point how valuable the gift was. I ask you and me, are we trusting God that He has something good for you? He has something good for me beyond the threshold. Trust Him. The gift may be wrapped right now, and it may take a while to understand that gift that is being unwrapped. We were talking about this earlier, about the unfolding of God's plan for us. It's kind of like the unfolding of the gift. We can only see the part we can see. We don't see the whole thing. But know that God has a marvelous gift waiting you and for me. That gift ultimately is Jesus. But the journey along the way is part of that gift as well. So trust Him. Something good is going to happen. If you don't even see it yet, it is, and it will. Because God is good, and He's our Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Daddy. Let's pray. God, thank You for the gift of life. Thank You for the gift of Jesus. Thank You for the gift of the cross. God, we are grateful. So grateful for the gift You've given us. Help us, Lord, as sometimes we find ourselves on a threshold and we're not sure what's coming next, and we turn the corner and we see that You have something there in front of us, but we can't see it all yet. It's still kind of unknown to us. Help us to know, though, God, because You are our Heavenly Daddy, that You've got something good for us. Even if there's difficulties along the way, You have something good for us, because You are a good Father, the greatest one there ever was. Thank You, O God, in the precious and holy and wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Your gift to us. Amen.